Good morning and welcome to Grace Chapel, member of the Fisherman Ministry, and welcome to our Sunday service.
Let's start today off with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your mighty blessings that you've given to each and every one of us. We pray that you meet each and every one of us and help us to receive those blessings. And Lord, we ask that you look in on Paul, who's having a little time of it, and we trust that you'll pull him through. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It sounds like you folks are awake this morning. That's a good sign. This morning, I was in prayer and I was, you know, in the Lord for what he'd have me talk about this morning. And nothing was coming to me. And that's a little scary. like, oh boy, I'm going to be up there preaching. I don't know what to say. What am I going to do? And you know, while we were singing these songs, you know, the Lord showed me something. And praise God, I'm going to talk about it. Oh yeah, we just sang the song, Build Your House on the Rock, and the other one, you know, get all excited and tell everybody, you know, Jesus Christ is King. And as I'm singing, well, let me step back a little bit. When I sing songs, and I don't know if this is a right practice or a wrong practice, I like it, so I do it. As I sing them, I kind of sing them as prayers. And where I fall short, I see the song as a prayer to the Lord that He help me to move forward in what it is we're singing about, you know? While I was doing that, I got to thinking, geez, why don't I do these things? You know, why don't we all do these things? We sing about building our house on a rock, and we sing about getting all excited and telling everybody that Jesus Christ is King. I'm not sure that each and every one of us actually goes out there and does it. I know I don't. And I think that some of the reasons, at least why I don't do this, is because of a lack of belief. It could be a lack of faith. You know, faith in God, because we know we can have faith in all sorts of things. And sometimes getting down to the point where you just feel like you're not worthy. You're not worthy of that grace and of that love. And you're worried about what other people are going to think of you because, I mean, I know how I think of myself. If we turn over, it's Hebrews. I think it's chapter 12 is what I'm looking for. Let me... This just came to me here. I was reading this the other day. Yes, chapter 12. Let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now see, we have to set aside all these things that we see. I mean, I know my testimony. And a lot of times, boy, that ain't a good one. But we looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. But that's the other thing that happens is, you know, we might be moving forward and being, you know, filled with joy and thinking we're doing everything right and, oh, wow, yeah, praise God, everything's working out for me. And then before you know it, something, you know, is said to you, whether it be by, you know, one of your authorities in the Lord, by somebody just walking around the street or, you know, even a little child. And we hear that, and we say, wow, man, I don't know how that happened, but I'm being chastened. And this doesn't feel good, right? And we get that chastening, and we don't like it, so we kind of run from it. We stay away from it. It doesn't make us feel good, right? So let's read on a little bit here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So if the Lord loves you, you're going to be chastened and scourged. That doesn't sound comfortable to me. That doesn't give me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, you know. But it does show that the Lord loves us. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. And I'll tell you, I prefer to be a son and not a bastard. So bring on that chastening. But slowly, in a measure I can handle, Lord. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. If you're going to want to endure this chastening and this scourging, you're going to have to strengthen yourself and trust in the Lord and move forward with what he's got for you. I mean, David, King David, he had a testimony of doing just that. I mean, his sin was ever before him, and in many ways it was right before Israel. But he was able to stand fast in the Lord's righteousness. Let's all do the same.
Name, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to give you a short one today.
Been praying about this. And this is what I got out of Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Been a lot to talk today on the other churches and over the past few weeks and various things about loving one another. Amen. But one of the lawyers came to Jesus and asked him, "What is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus summed it up this way. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." You know, for years, I remember back years and years ago, I would hear this quoted as, "Love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, body." Sounded good. I used to say it too. Then one day, I had to actually look at it. I mean, really look at it. Flesh is never mentioned here. Your body's not mentioned here. Soul, spirit, and what? Heart. Is that what it says? Yeah. Heart, soul, and mind. I'll test you guys. Heart, soul, and mind. Forget about the flesh. It ain't going to happen. Okay? But now he goes on. And the second is like it did. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, the Lord showed me a long time ago. You can't love your neighbor as yourself if you don't love yourself. Or how you love yourself is how you will love your neighbor. Now, the question is, do you love yourself the flesh? Or do you love yourself the soul? And then again, how much do you love your soul? Do you love your soul enough to want only the best for it? Do you love your soul and your spirit and your mind enough to want to have fellowship with God? Not only in eternity, but how about right now? Do you love your soul enough that you will do whatsoever it takes to ensure eternity with Christ? You see, we are in a pickle of brine here because we feel the flesh. We don't feel the soul. And therefore, our love is always turned toward the flesh. And because it's turned toward the flesh, it's imperfect. It's not right. And it's selfish. And it's prideful. And it's all about us. What makes us feel good. It's not about what is good for someone else. It's what's good for me in the moment, at the time. I look back over my life. I can associate with what Steve was preaching on this morning. I look back over my life, and there are many times in my past that I can look at, I'm not happy with. Attitudes that I've had, things that I've done, said, thought, felt, not happy with at all. Yet I keep coming back to the fact that Jesus said, if you endure to the end, you have to endure to the end to make it. And endure what? Endure trusting and believing, having faith in Him and what He did and what He can accomplish in you. He can accomplish things in you that you cannot even imagine, that are beyond your ability to even conceive. But it starts with loving yourself, not the flesh self. Because that's going to the grave. That's going to corruption. That is constantly dying. But loving that self that was reborn by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus Himself. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were reborn by His blood and by the power of God. And it is that person you have to love, and learn to love that person, and then love others with that same love. And if you love others with that same love, you're going to want them to have the knowledge of God and the understanding of God's love toward them. And you're only going to want good for them. Then you are obeying the second law. Then you are obeying the second law. Amen. All right. Just a little bit, not a long sermon, just a little thing there to help you out and get you started again.
Praise God.